With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
It's all about want to, need to have.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Buda Baker out in front. Can Metcalf track him down?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What'd you think of DK Metcalf running down one of your teammates?
Once he ran past me, I was like, Buda, you on your own.
Today's guests, Philadelphia Eagles head coach Doug Peterson, Minnesota Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph, legendary NHL broadcaster Doc Emrick from Spectrum Originals Temple, actor Mark Strong, and now... it's Rich Eisen.
All right, man. It's been a long time since T.J. Jefferson's made a putt. I'll be very honest with you. That's how we're going to start this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're pleased to be here on, and we're just going to keep plowing forward. We've got 3 hours of fun and frolic and information to keep on top of and pass along to you and thoughts and opinionating. And I've got my four downs, as always, here on a Tuesday with an NFL week in the books, week 7. We're through week 7. Knock on wood if you're
with me. Can you believe that?
All right, we're through 7 weeks.
Let's go. Keep going.
Okay, we're through 7 weeks is basically what I'm saying. Good to see you, Chris Brockman.
Hey,
how are you?
What's happening?
Mike Del Tufo, how are you? And Brockman, you're dressed down, which means you had a bad game, right? Because that's the way you do. You don't dress up.
Right? Didn't play well this week. Team's not performing.
That's how you're doing with Cam.
Don't look at me with my outfit.
All right. Good to see you, T.J. Jefferson. How are you over there?
I'm stupendous, Rich.
Fantastic.
Thank you. You know.
Very good. Which is interesting with a Philadelphia Eagles head coach being on the show. He's first up. Doug Peterson is going to be up. And he's got the Dallas Cowboys. And apparently Ben DiNucci, it looks like, coming into the house. How do you prepare for a James Madison third-string quarterback? I've never asked that of an NFL head coach. I'm going to ask that of Doug Peterson.
I think you pull out some old Joe Montana footage and watch that.
And I'm also going to have a little dad card to play, too.
Oh.
How so?
Well, because my son, Coop, has got Miles Sanders in his fantasy league. And literally, as I'm leaving the house, because as soon as, you know, a week is over, you look at your fantasy team and you start thinking about your fantasy team. My son, at the age of 9, just like that. My 12-year-old son, Zan, just like that, too. And my 12-year-old Zan says, Dad, is Aaron Jones going to play this week? What about Dalvin Cook? I'm like, I don't know, son. I don't call him son. I don't know why I just said that.
Son.
I don't know, bud. You know. And then Coop's like, well, what about Miles Sanders? Well, I can actually attempt to get you that answer.
How about that?
On today's program, right?
You're earning that plaque on your desk right now.
Best dad ever going to take this into November. That's right. It's not just given. It's earned. I have earned this title.
Daily.
Hey, Coop, guess what? Miles Sanders, we still don't know because the coach is not going to be telling me on the show, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try and get an answer. Maybe we can get, hey, Miles Sanders could roll against the Dallas Cowboys. Who knows? So we're going to attempt to get answers from Doug Peterson. Now then, let's talk about this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, last night's game. The Week 7 finale. Monday Night Football here in Los Angeles at that beautiful stadium that's just up the road.
Beautiful.
Another thing I told my kids last night, I'm like, you know what? If there was no pandemic, we'd probably be in that building tonight. We'd probably be there tonight.
I would have sold my tickets.
I know you would have. That's the way you roll. That's the way you roll. Because there's tons of Bears fans in this town.
Tons of Bears fans.
Love to see with their own two eyes the mirage, the smoke and the mirrors that we all assumed the Bears were using to start the season at 5-1. Because I'll tell you, could you imagine, Christopher, if this offense could put up 24 points with regularity?
Whew.
What would this team look like if they could come at you with the offense that we saw on Sunday Night Football, either one with Arizona or Seattle? What if this team could come at you with, you know, you could say this about most teams, the offense of the Kansas City Chiefs coming at you since Matt Nagy was plucked from the Andy Reid coaching tree to bring that to Chicago. What if they could come at you with an offense like, say, Pittsburgh's or an offense like Baltimore's? What if they could come at you with an offense like Tennessee's? What if they could come at you with an offense like even the 49ers offense, the Saints offense with a running back like Kamara? And obviously if Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are healthy, I could kind of go on and on. What if they could come at you like with a Packers offense? Right now they're coming at you with an offense that is a total, complete crapshoot. No idea what it's going to look like other than the fact that more often than not, the come-out role is snake eyes. More often than not, the come-out role, two sixes. Mm. They could, you know, they could set the point. They could set the point.
Give me that eight, baby.
You know? Give you the eight or the six. Normally, the Bears point, I am equating the Bears to a crapshoot. The Bears point is like five. It's a five or a nine, four or a ten. You can hit the point. You can hit it, but more often than not, you're not gonna. And I'll just tell you, folks, who might not know the game of craps, I'm describing something that does not work very well usually. Works well for the house, as it did last night for the Rams. Worked very well for the house last night.
Sure does.
And, you know, is Foles the answer? Against Tampa, it was, because they were able to make enough plays. They were able to make enough plays, and the defense did its job on somebody that has since, along with the offense, gone absolutely aflame. The Bears defense, because the Bears defense can do that to somebody like Brady. They can do that to somebody like Arians' offense.
I know,
this Bears
defense
is capable. That's the issue. Can they score enough points? That is the issue. And that's why somebody like Nick Foles shows up to a press conference last night and says the following words: there's still a lot of season left. Have you ever heard a quarterback of a 5-2 team have to say something like that, or feel compelled to say something like that, or have so many questions asked of him where he needs to basically say to the media, there's a lot of road left. They're not 2-5, they're 5-2.
Right.
They're 5-2.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a defense that is championship quality. They really do have that defense that can do that. But they've got to keep that defense off the field a little more. He can't go 3-and-out, can't go 6-and-out, can't put the ball in the danger like Foles did in the end zone last night for a tip drill interception, or throwing it up for Jalen Ramsey to essentially call a fair catch because you're down so many points and you've got to start putting the ball into danger like Foles is feeling compelled to do. You see that? And you can't even use the phrase the Bears are who we thought they were, because they're – offense is struggling. Yeah, we thought that of the Bears going into the season. Trubisky or Foles, we are. But you also are what you are, and what they are is 5-2. I have no earthly idea what's going to happen with the Chicago Bears this year. But all I know is I'm eating the popcorn, because this is, as we keep telling you, the team in Chicago, with all due respect to the Cubs and the Bulls and any other team that's won a championship there in our lifetimes. And I'm talking as a 51-year-old man. And even the young millennials can say, I saw the Cubs win, which is something that people came on this earth and shuffled off their mortal coil before they ever saw. So that's a Shakespearean reference, sir.
Mortal coil. I get it, but it's still a good fantasy name.
Well, Google it. I think I just made a 7-century-old pop culture reference. So, or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, that's in Hamlet.
Thank you.
Yep.
So, this is the Bears. This is it. And I'm getting texts from the King of Spring at the NFL Network.
Charlie Uke.
He's upset. Bears fans are up in arms, and they're 5-2. Because they know the way that this team is currently constructed, it is an absolute tooth-pulling experience to watch this offense try and score points.
They have good players, too, on offense.
And then it's the question of the coach who's come on this show, the coach of the year from 2 years ago who's come on this show with the phrase of be you. Who the hell are the Bears to be? I don't know who the you is.
To be or not to be? Are we going to keep going?
That is the question. To be you or not to be you. And then you hear something about, does he have his finger on the pulse or not? We gave him the kudos required, I thought, to go, we're going Foles right here, right now. Week three, let's roll up in Atlanta. Let's go. We're down in Atlanta, but they're up. They're 3-0. Let's go. Let's roll. What a time to go to Trubisky. You're 2-0. You become 3-0 because you rolled the dice and you hit the point. Everybody at the table's happy. You're 3-0. Let's go with Foles. Well, now Foles is a starter. It's 2-2. And you're wondering, does he have the finger on the pulse? When Brian Griese of the Monday Night Football broadcast team says that Foles told him and the crew in their pregame conversation, every national crew and every crew that calls a game for you regionally in the NFL, CBS, Fox, NBC on Sunday night, ESPN on Monday night, any crew, they talk to the coach beforehand and they talk to the quarterback beforehand. That is arranged for the broadcast team. And that is part of Doug Peterson at some point is going to Zoom with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. That will happen this week. And Michelle Tafoya. And they all hear it and they all take notes and they all write down. And it's all on the record. On the record. This is the stuff that they know and they say it in the meetings. It's going to be available to be used in the broadcast. On occasion, because I have been part of this when I did those London games and that game in Tampa last year between Winston and Watson, whoever the hell they are. You know, when I did that, we did that in person. We did that in person. A couple of them were on the phone in London because we were all traveling internationally.
Right.
But pre-pandemic, we were doing it in person. And the reason why I'm setting it up like this is they are freewheeling conversations. On occasion, they'll say, don't use this. But I'll tell you, for your background information. That will happen. But other than that, it's like it's a freewheeling conversation. And I sit there and I hear Kurt Warner talking to the quarterbacks. And it's like they talk a different language. And Mooch is conversant in it, and Irv's conversant in it.
Right.
And I'm trying to keep up, despite being in this business for 25 years, because you can hear they're talking a certain language, and they're talking in a certain way, and there's follow-up questions. Because if they say something provocative, you'll hear them say, really? Is that what's going on? Yeah, let's talk about it. So when Brian Griese says last night that Nick Foles told him and them in their conversations leading up to the game that sometimes Matt Nagy will make a call, he hears it in his helmet, and he knows on the spot he's not going to have enough time to actually execute the play that's just been called in. When you hear that, you're
nugget,
like,
man.
When you hear that, you're like, huh? So, like the Scooby-Doo, like, oinks? Really? Okay. And I can tell you, Nick Foles is a straight shooter. He said afterwards, when asked about that, that it was a miscommunication between him and Brian Griese, which strains credulity. That's the only way to put it. I'm not calling this guy a liar. I'm basically saying the miscommunication would be what? I'm trying to wonder what that miscommunication could be, because I've been in these meetings.
Right.
And the quarterback, upon hearing that, would absolutely say, is that right? Are you sure? Like, no kidding.
Right.
So what do you do next? What do you do that? And Griese might have needed to finesse that a little more to make sure it doesn't leave Foles with a little bit of a mess in his lap postgame if they say lose because they can't put points on the board. Mm. After the game, Matt Nagy said, yeah, that's kind of news to him, and Foles has never said that to him. You hear that, and it's just like, oh, my gosh. That's when the DEFCON rating goes down. You lower the DEFCON rating for DEFCON 1 is the worst DEFCON.
Oh.
Am I not right? I'm trying to remember my war games.
Hold on. I got to do some research.
So, the intensity ratchets.
You're right. DEFCON 1, very bad.
The intensity ratchets and the questions fly. And I don't know what the miscommunication could be. It could be something like, no. When I hear the play and I think I don't have time to execute it, I don't know what that means. So either Brian Griese heard it wrong and reported it wrong. That's the miscommunication. Or the miscommunication is I didn't mean to tell him that.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. Honestly.
Right. That seems more likely.
And Foles is such a stand-up guy and such a great human. You just let it slide and just, well, make a note of that. And then against the Rams, it's definitely a team against which you might not have time to call to run the play that's being called. And that's where I'd like to land here, because it's amazing. For a team that's in the second largest media market in our great nation, in our great sports nation, a 5-2 team's getting overlooked, and I'm wondering why. Why is that? Why are the Rams constantly getting overlooked? I know the 49ers hit them in the mouth, but the 49ers hit a lot of teams in the mouth. They're still the defending NFC champs. That's a division game on the road. Understand there's no fans. You are still going on the road in a pandemic. There is some sort of advantage to the home team for that. Why are we overlooking the Rams? Is it because we think Goff's Bambi? Is that what it is? Honestly, we think he's like the actual modern-day version of Warren Beatty in a Rams uniform. Is that what it is? Honestly, I'm wondering what it is. Is that what it is? Because the star of the offense is still Sean McVay dialing it up.
Yeah.
Okay, with Gurley gone. And your fantasy, you're probably wildly upset because you can't figure out who the hell's going to get the football there. And there's no star running back except every last one of them when they get a chance hits you in the mouth. Is it because they've got 15 tight ends, including one I didn't even know existed, Johnny Munt? Did you know Johnny Munt existed?
Never heard of
him. Did you see my Twitter?
I did.
Poll, like a great Berman nickname. I started going to the Johnny Munt cake. Johnny Munt pass and kick.
Pretty good.
I got one, a good one from my from somebody who tweeted at me. Johnny Munt for Red October.
That was my favorite.
That's
one.
A good one.
That was my favorite one.
Oh, honestly. So you got how many do they have? These tight ends. One scored last night, Gerald Everett. It was his night to score. You know, sometimes it's Higbee's night to score 15 yep. times. And then you got Kupp and Woods and Reynolds and this kid Jefferson. And all right.
A lot of guys.
Why we overlook them? Maybe because their best player is a guy who doesn't say a word, and Aaron Donald lets his play do the talking. Aaron Donald, I'm telling you folks, I said it before, I'll say it again. Aaron Donald is going to be one of those Hall of Famers in his mid-50s where the jacket fits him just like it did the day he got it, and he's just going to be walking around cool as a cucumber, and you want to go hang with him at every Hall of Fame, smoking a cigar and just looking and just sitting back and telling stories about terrorizing everybody that was in front of him. That's Aaron Donald. And now they got a guy in the back end in Jalen Ramsey. Right?
Had a pick last night.
And they have the greatest secret, not so secret, weapon in the game. You betcha. You know how I feel about him. You know how I feel about this very subject.
Go for it.
I understand McAfee is an all-pro at this position. He was a team of the decade, right? Was he a punter of the decade?
He was all decade.
I understand he's for the brand and all that stuff.
For the brand.
While he was doing that, I was giving him punters or people two T-shirts. Okay? While he was for the brand, I was branding. Johnny friggin' Hecker. That's right. The punter. Maybe the Rams' best player of all. Because when you are playing defense like they are playing, and you do have an offense that is not easy to figure out, and you are trying to be mistake-free, and Goff is doing that very well this year, you need to play field position. You need a punter like Johnny friggin' Hecker, and we have got this statistic up on the screen. Let me spend some time here. Look at these numbers. Punts against the Bears. Every last one of them landed, wound up with the Bears starting from their own 10 or further back. All of them. None of them allowed the Bears to score eventually because their field position was such crap. And this team, as I've established, it's like pulling teeth to score points. When you can do that to the Bears, you've got them. you've got them. And don't turn it over. And they did, as we know, last night at one point. And that turnover led to a significant amount of momentum. Turnover, Bears make it a 24-10 game just when you think maybe, just maybe, who knows? Every single time the Bears have won this year, it seems like they come back from two touchdowns down. Here we go. The momentum switching. The Rams do the smart thing, which is run the ball, take as much time off the clock, and send Hecker out there. And just when you think, why isn't McVay being aggressive? This is what he's supposed to do. Why is he not being aggressive? Why is he not play action, rolling Goff out and finding one of his 19 tight ends, Beverly Hills Munt, out there wide open? Why is he not doing that? Why is he not just ending the game right here? Because he's got Johnny friggin' Hecker. That's why. And Hecker takes the ball with momentum, switching to the Bears, fresh off of a defensive score for a touchdown, fresh off of a three and out. Bears defense feeling it. Hecker puts it inside the 5-yard line. Game over. And when the Bears do throw an interception off of that, and the Rams do take more time off the clock and send Hecker out there again with two and change to go, just when you think maybe, just maybe, Foles can do it if they can get a quick strike here somehow, and they were getting behind the defense on occasion. Maybe you get a quick strike here, then you get an onside, maybe something's going to happen. Hecker puts it inside the 5 again. Game over. And then you even hear Lewis Riddick, who should know better, Lewis, when Brian Griese points out the watermelon punt, that he takes the ball and he kicks it sideways. He doesn't kick it long ways. He kicks it sideways. Yeah. Because at one point, one of those two last punts was downed at the 5, and it didn't get touched. It stopped by itself. His teammates didn't touch the ball because they know Johnny's got it. Our punter's got it. He knows how to punt it to make it stop on its own. And Lewis Riddick goes, yeah, punters have time to figure that out in practice. And I'm sitting there shaking my head, and I'm like, the guy's showing you he's a weapon, and not just a weapon. He's Mariano friggin' Rivera right here. He's a better closer in this game in Los Angeles than Kenley Jansen might be tonight in game 6.
Whoa.
He's closing it out at the punter position. And you're like, yeah, he's got time in practice. What, is he watching soap operas when he's not? That's the thing I hear. It's not what Riddick said. Working on him. No, he's closing the game out. I'm passionate about this sort of thing because it's not just part of the branding and part of what I am and who I am, but it's a smart play if you're a coach. Like, Sean McVay, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So, Rams are 5-2, and that's part of my four downs that's coming up. Ooh. Because you don't want to be losing a game of musical chairs in the NFC West at all. And the game of musical chairs has nothing, has a little bit to do with winning that division. But there's musical chairs that you're playing with somebody else who doesn't deserve a chair in the game, potentially, as a home team. I'm going to leave that right there. My fourth down hot take is coming up. And one team in particular that's not yet truly in a playoff position, to me, I think is set for a long time to come. That's in my four downs. Oh, and by the way, Jerry Jones has spoken today, and there's a new drop in town here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kyle Rudolph, Doc Emrick, the recently retired, and Mark Strong, the actor, and you at 844-204-RICH were set up for success here on this Tuesday.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
The Minnesota Vikings coming off of a bye week. Are they going to be strong sellers? Are they basically saying we're done here? They're 1-5 coming off of a bye. You want to talk about must win. coming off the bye at Green Bay. This is what we call a must win.
Yowzas.
So he's going to be joining us, Doc Emmerich and Mark Strong. One thing from the Rams game last night I didn't mention. Look at that.
Look
who's in the stands. Hey. Look who's in the stands.
People ask me why I picked the white.
Okay.
Oh, you had a choice?
Yes. You could pick anything. You could pick the Rams hat. You could pick the logo.
And?
I like the white.
You stood out, too.
I like the white, and I stood out.
Okay.
Everyone around me is in the blue. I'm in the white.
Why number 31?
My mother's birthday.
Very good.
Nice.
All right. Very good.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Where was this? Do we know exactly where?
End zone.
End zone. End zone. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, we were just looking, if you could put that buck up, Tom, but we were just looking at Mike Del Tufo in the stands, in the virtual stands for the Los Angeles Rams. And number 17 next to Mike was the seat that Brockman gave up to that guy who's digitally right there selling his right to do that. To that, I guess that's – is 17 or 26 the Bears fan that you sold your digital rights to for this game, Chris? Since you don't have tickets to sell like
17.
That.
Okay, 17? They're in all season. I stay in there all season now.
So you're there all season. Have you been there before or they just started this?
They just started.
All right. Very good, Mike.
It's cool.
Wow. So does that mean the number 26 or 17 next to him is going to be sold each week?
Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah, it's gonna be individually.
So let me see. Hold on a second. Rams next.
This just depends.
Rams next home game.
Come on.
No, hold on a second. After the bye is against Seattle, so there's gonna be tons of 12s that want your digital seat spot.
Great.
There you go. A lot coming up.
We were thinking about last night what they would have been.
We could have got double, at least, Mike.
I'm not going to lie. I probably would not have gone.
But you're also a season ticket holder for your Las Vegas Raiders as well.
I got those.
Are you going to be digitally inserted
there
as well?
No, those are purely an investment.
The Raiders have that, too?
Ooh, I wonder if I
where you could be in two places at once.
That's true.
As opposed to just mentally being in two places at once.
That happens.
Like you could physically be in two places at once.
That would actually be like a
just
first.
Throwing that out there.
Who else would be doing that?
Just throwing that out there.
We gotta talk to him.
So then, before we get to four downs, Jerry Jones has spoken. Jerry Jones has spoken. His Cowboys could not be in worse shape. His franchise quarterback is out for the year. Everybody wondering if he is the guy of the future and why wasn't he signed long term, because everyone loves Dak and Dak is still their guy. They're 2-5 with a head coach that basically we're wondering if the clue phone is ringing. I'll be very, very honest, because they're 2-5 and it's tons of injuries that Mike McCarthy has nothing to do with, but the guys out there look disinterested, as Peter King said. They are regressing, even with Andy Dalton, before Andy Dalton got blown up. A hit that got the reaction of his teammates as if Andy had just basically just exhaled. Oh, really? Oh, you're there? I didn't know you're there. You fogging up the mirror? Did the exhale fog up the mirror? I don't know that you just nearly got decapitated by John Bostic. So, honestly, let's just keep walking around. Literally, like it was the Walking Dead. That's how bad it was on that day. This gives me no joy because I know it upsets you, Michael Irvin. I love to death. I am having fun with him because he keeps picking against my Jets. I'm now picking against his Cowboys in locks of the week that should not be remotely close to locks of the week, but it has been a lock for Arizona and Washington since I started doing that in his direction. As you know, I was the host of the 60th anniversary show. Couldn't have been more proud to do that. We had Jerry Jones on this show to promote it. Gives me no joy to say this looks like a total, complete, utter mess. And I'd love to give, if you will, the equal time. We've got Doug Peterson on at the top of the show in hour number two. Eagles are taking on the Cowboys this week, and it looks like they are playing Ben DiNucci of James Madison University.
God bless you.
Unless Andy Dalton can somehow get out of the concussion protocol, even though that hit looked so horrible. You never know. One never knows. We'll be keeping an eye on that all week. But the one thing we need to know about is, you know, how this can continue to go on. Certainly if Andy Dalton's lit up, nobody lifts a finger. Nobody looks like that they even noticed it happened. And, you know, the coach does not breathe fire and brimstone about it. But as a matter of fact, the defensive coordinator, who has been totally under fire, another good guy in Mike Nolan, he has his Zoom yesterday paused because he had just apparently eaten something with Tabasco and had it on his finger and touched his eye. Ooh. And they had to burn a timeout to stop the defensive coordinator Zoom. And that's yet another instance where we're all taking to Twitter. It's just another canary in that coal mine. So today he was on 105.3 The Fan, and the I don't have any patience to jack around with you version of Jerry Jones showed up today.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
That's right. That was from, I believe, last year when they lost to the Bears after losing to the Bills.
Settle down just a little bit.
They lost to the Bears after losing to the Bills on Thanksgiving, came back a week later, and Mitch Trubisky ran through them like a knife through hot butter.
Get your damn act together.
I mean, all of that was from that interview. That version of Jerry Jones showed up today when asked about the leadership in the locker room, certainly in light of what happened on the field with Andy Dalton.
Does your team have a leadership void?
Where in the offensive line? Where
just overall
where,
when
seriously,
these?
But seriously, where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no. Shut up and let me answer. No.
Jerry, when you go into the locker room, what I'm asking is, do you see the intangibles?
You're not asking me that. I gave you the answer. When I go into the locker room, there's no leadership void in my eyes.
Okay.
Now that's your answer. Let's move on.
All righty then. Whoa. That cannot be an easy moment for the interviewer who has the ability to question Jerry Jones every week. Who was it who came on and said that Dak's biggest void may be the fact that he was the most positive guy in the locker room? He kept things positive all the time. I forget who pointed that out after he got hurt, but we had a guest on in the last couple of weeks who said, you know what, keep an eye on the fact that Dak is the most positive person in that locker room, and the fact that he won't be there when they could use it the most. And how I said that, you know, I think my response was the clapper. Everybody rags on the clapper, but the clapper was also very positive.
Yep.
And I have no idea. Now you're hearing players say the coaches don't know what they're doing. And Del Tufo now has a new favorite drop on the Rich Eisen show.
Shut up and let me answer.
There you go. I don't know when we're going to use that.
I'm trying to be cute here.
Oh, you got another one.
Yeah,
you got two of them.
Bonus.
And that's how Doug Peterson is welcoming the Dallas Cowboys into Philadelphia. Oh, by the way, on Sunday Night Football, by the way, Al and Chris and the whole gang, and all 19 million of their cameras that pick up on everything from Kyler Murray smiling when he sees his wide receiver open and not having the ball by the strings when he fires in that direction.
Incredible.
Cowboys-Eagles, Sunday Night Football starts with Tirico and the crew Sunday at 7 Eastern time on. And
that is going to be a beautiful disaster.
Ready for four downs?
You know it.
The opposite of a beautiful disaster, I hope. Here, hit it, please.
Hut!
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go.
What is up?
Okay.
We got.
Now that we have turned the page from week 7 to week 8.
First down.
Now that we have turned that page, I'd like to welcome back to the National Football League front and center a team that isn't in the playoffs just yet. Just yet. A team that is in the news because of the maneuver they made at their quarterback spot prior to their bye week. I'd like to welcome the Miami Dolphins back to front and center because they are in great shape. Great shape. I know Ryan Fitzpatrick is brokenhearted, and that gutted me when I heard all that. But he is a lead pipe wielding professional when it all comes down to it. I would be surprised to hear if there is a problem in that locker room because of him losing his job. Tua is going to come out, and I know the Rams are in front of him, and I just talked about how difficult the defense it is, and it may not look good in the first start, and then they may fall to 3-4, but I proffer to say this. With the seventh seed sitting out there in 2020, the Dolphins are not out of it. Even if they lose this week, Tua is going to get better each and every week, and the reason why that they're set up is they have the first and second round picks in next year's draft of the one-win Houston Texans. I cannot believe that here got a team that's going to start Tua, that's going to give him the reps that he needs in real live action, still have an opportunity to not only make the playoffs but potentially win the division. And in their back pocket, they've got two draft choices in the first round next year and two draft choices in the second round next year. And the higher of the draft choices that they're going to have are not their own. It's the Houston Texans, both of them given up by Bill O'Brien in that trade for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills prior to last season when they gave up two ones and a two. And one of the ones and the two is about to be cashed in by a team that could make the playoffs this year with Tua Tagovailoa getting better every week. The Dolphins are in great shape, which brings me to second down here.
Second down.
What did I say about DeAndre Hopkins, Chris, about how incredible he is? It's time to revisit this. How in the hell did the Texans not get a first-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins?
Right.
How did that happen?
Bill O'Brien?
His catch radius is a million miles wide. I say this, and you know how much I love Kyler Murray. You know how I came off of last season after the Super Bowl in my fourth down hot take at the time. It was a hot take at the time that he would finish in the top three in the
Super
MVP
hot
voting
take.
In 2020.
Super hot take.
He had just collected the Offensive Rookie of the Year award at the NFL Honors. And I looked over the steering wheel and I thought he's poised to take a monster next step similar to Lamar Jackson's. Why not? And then DeAndre Hopkins showed up for a two. I don't think the Cardinals would be 5-2 this year if DeAndre wasn't there. If they were going into it with Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald and Andy Isabella being the guys, DeAndre Hopkins changes the dynamic entirely. And then changes it entirely for Deshaun Watson, too. I don't care how many passing yards Deshaun Watson has this year. That's not the metric. The metric is the growth, the maturation, the yards, and the W's. Again, he's 27. He's at the top of his game. He is incredible. He's game-changing for everybody. The defense, the offense, everybody. How the hell did they not at least get a one back for him? Did they not shop him around? Literally need to know the answer to this question.
Yeah, leads the NFL in receptions.
Get out of here.
Targets, yards, and first downs on
receptions. How do you not get a one back for him when you have given your one away? You get a two? For a 27-year-old wide receiver that if you threw him out to the entire pool of the NFL, you create a market in a way that you, I guess, didn't want to put it out there just in case the trade didn't work? I can't believe it. Third down here on the Rich Eisen Show, post week 7. Everybody needs to get ready. Steel yourselves, if you will, in the NFC. Get ready for some NFC playoff seating outrage, people. Because one of those teams on the screen, most likely, could be your defending NFC champion 49ers. I don't know, because the Rams have yet to play the Cardinals or the Seahawks. How about them apples? And the Seahawks are about to start their first of two with San Francisco. The NFC West is about to start picking each other off. So I know we're talking here about all four teams in the NFC West having an opportunity to maybe make the playoffs this year. You got a 5-win Bears team. Whoever doesn't win the NFC North is going to be in a position to make one in terms of a wild card spot. The Saints are currently sniffing it at 4-2. I mean, that's how competitive a 7 seed's going to be. So most likely, somebody is going to be sitting at home from the NFC West with 10 wins. Is it possible 11 wins? While the NFC East champion hosts a playoff game with 6 or 7 wins. And that might be generous, because your current leader, 2-4-1, Doug Peterson, again, going to join us in about 20 minutes' time. They have, as you know, a 2-4-1 record. That leaves them 9 games to go. In order to have 7 wins, they have to finish above 500. Somebody's going to have to finish above 500. Whoever has 2 wins currently in the NFC East through 7 games is going to have 5 wins over the next 9 in order to win this division with 7 wins. Somebody's going this division with 6 wins, people. And somebody from the NFC West is going to go home with 10 or 11. So just prepare yourselves for that to happen. And everyone at the competition committee, prepare yourselves for the hue and cry that's going to be descending upon next year's membership meeting about you got to do something about the playoff seating. Here comes fourth down.
Mike. Here we go.
Fourth down.
Fourth down. I know you were struggling, but I am pumped for this fourth down.
I was struggling on it earlier on.
And I know where you're going.
Well, it's based on a conversation that we all had yesterday. And I know it might be a hot take to sit here and say the Patriots 7 games into an NFL season or 7 weeks into an NFL season and just 6 games in with a trade deadline coming up 1 week from today, they have to consider pulling the plug. Do they have the ability to make a big, huge run? And certainly, if you're going to try and you just fall flat and miss the playoffs, trying as hard as you can. And I know they don't care about this sort of PR thing, and I'm sure Belichick would just laugh it off.
Right.
But with Brady going on a run, if you basically pull the plug right now and say, Uncle, we're going to trade off our parts and pieces and get better right now, it makes sense to do. And you know Dallas can't quit the season. You're already hearing Jerry Jones be so upset about what's going on, and he's upset about any of the questions about leadership and the coaches. Put Cam on the block. Call Jerry Jones up and say, what do you need? And trade Cam to the Dallas Cowboys.
Woo, baby.
And see what Cam can do in the position that Dak was in. Andy Dalton showed he wasn't the answer. And Ben DiNucci, with all due respect to James Madison University, I don't expect to be either. It's amazing how quickly things change in the NFL. After 3 weeks, we're sitting here saying the Patriots should sign Cam long term because he deserves it. And he'd look who showed up. And then he got COVID. He says he's fine. But since that all happened,
it looks awful.
Yeah. It looks like that they can't do anything, right? And I'm wondering why this wouldn't be a fit. Because you know Dallas isn't going to sit there and go, we've got cap problems. We've got issues at the cap. And I know that we're hearing like Everson Griffin's available or whatever, but I'm not taking that as to mean that they're giving up. I'm taking that to mean as they know that the defense that's being run, it ain't working. So let's get some parts and some pieces and maybe fix our cap issue in the future, but still try to win right now with who we got. Cam would be the answer, wouldn't it?
And we know it wouldn't cost Dallas much. Probably a low round draft pick. And you got to remember, Cam's on a very friendly deal. Less than $1 million bucks.
Go for it. And see what you got in Stidham and rip the knob off that you were expecting to do going into June.
Right.
When you called Cam up and said, how'd you like to come to New England on this team-friendly contract? Right.
They were ready for it to be the Stidham era this year anyway. And then Cam,
now that you've tried and you have seen it, and you're now 2-4, and I think, again, Buffalo's ready to let 20 years of frustration out.
Yeah, it could get pretty ugly on Sunday.
So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. And then there'd be 2 days to the trade deadline. That's my 4 downs.
Love it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Come back. We take your phone calls and set up the rest of our show with 4 guests still on the horizon. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. We got 2 hours plus still to go here on this show with 4 guests. Doug Peterson, the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, will be joining us shortly. And as always, we take the reins from Dan Patrick every day here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Streaming now, and you're watching us right now on Peacock. We greatly appreciate that. We greatly appreciate that. Have we come up with a poll question yet today, Chris?
No, I've got a bunch of ideas, though.
What do you got? You want to rerun my Berman nickname one?
No, but off of Johnny Hecker, though, who's the best player at their position in the NFL?
Hmm.
Mahomes, Derrick Henry, Budda Baker, Johnny Hecker.
Who is? Give me that again.
Mahomes at quarterback.
Yes.
Derrick Henry at running back.
Okay.
Budda Baker at safety. Johnny Hecker at punter.
Huh. I don't know. I don't know if safety is the best way to go. Why don't you want to go Aaron Donald or Khalil Mack?
Well, I didn't want two Rams.
Okay.
We could have went DeAndre Hopkins, I suppose.
We're sounding out for our radio audience. Welcome back. Our poll question for today.
The other one I had, which team is the biggest Fugazi in the league right now?
Okay.
Ooh. Or going off of your fourth down hot take.
Yes.
Who should be the biggest sellers at the NFL trade deadline?
Who are our choices there?
Cowboys, Falcons, Patriots, Vikings.
Well, I mean, if you put a one-win team in there, they're going to win it. I mean, I would definitely say
they're all one or two wins.
No, I know that, but I mean, if you cut it down the, you know, where you've got to make a decision now to fish or cut bait, Patriots at, or just leave it Patriots, Cowboys. We don't have to come up with four.
Ooh,
just leave it there. See how it goes. Patriots or Cowboys?
Yikes. You believe that? Were those your Super Bowl teams, TJ?
They were.
Which two?
Well, I mean, I don't know if the Patriots were. I don't know if the Patriots were.
No, the Patriots were. It was the Ravens.
Oh, Ravens. You had Ravens.
But again, I said the Cowboys because I thought it was expected of me.
No, don't. No, 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 no.
Yes, yes, yes.
No, you may not. Be allowed to say that.
I wouldn't have put
hard
earned cash money on the Cowboys first.
Yes, well, because you would have.
No, first of all, you know me, and you know I would not have. So, no, you know this.
You rightfully thought that Dak Prescott had an MVP campaign sitting there. Okay. Dak got a lot of run preseason as MVP.
Deservedly so.
Mine was Mahomes, which was misplaced in the fact that I thought that everyone would just come home to see that he is the best player, right. But I think everybody's just assuming, you know what, he's just Mahomes. Let's see who else could be deserving of it. And now Russell is obviously that guy that people are throwing out there. But you rightfully thought that, and that CeeDee Lamb was added to Amari, who got paid, and Zeke's got heavy pockets, and Gallup was taking another run here, and the line was healthy, and the defense was my concern, but a lot of people looked at that line and saw some serious additions, including Alden Smith, and thought that they could go hunt and win a division that is, as we thought was, a little weaker than most. And they couldn't win with Dak, and then they couldn't win with Dalton. And I know that last week's stuff, we're talking about, it's just Washington and, you know, that Dalton got knocked out. That game was way over when Dalton got knocked out. It was over. They weren't doing anything. They got problems. But they're not going to sell, I don't think, because they're only a half game out of first, and Jerry Jones is not going to be one of those guys and says, I can't win this year right now. He definitely sits at home, I'm sure, and thinks, McCarthy's the right guy. I trust my gut. He was the right guy when I thought I hired him. He was the right guy because he was the best guy for the job. And everybody that he's set up is something that I believe is going to work. And this team is going to catch. Does he really sit there and think that this team's going to catch fire with Andy Dalton? And all they need to do is just get that ticket punched and let's go try and take on. I mean, the fourth seeded Dallas Cowboys, winners of the NFC East, because they have gone on a run and have won 5 of 9 or 6 of 9. Let's just give them the best possible scenario that they play 666 football the rest of the way. They win two out of every three that they play for the rest of the way. They wind up winning the division with 7 wins, right? Let's just give them that. Let's give them 8-8. Let's even just give them an 8-8 run.
You are generous.
No, I am. I am. Let's give them an 8-8 run. Okay. That team has won enough to show what? They're going to welcome in the fifth-seeded Rams, fifth-seeded Cardinals, fifth-seeded Saints.
And they'll get blasted.
That's what how do you not sit here and say, this one stinks? It's just like everybody else is 2020. Let's just hope that 2021 is better.
Shut up and let me answer.
Now, so
I think there's too much ego for that to happen in Dallas.
But it's fair to say Mike McCarthy totally pulled the wool over Steve and
look, I mean,
Jones, right?
If you say that, you're taking the full-on approach of that Bleacher Report article that said he was more interested in getting a massage on walkthrough days than anything else, that he had totally lost his fastball and tapped out, and Rodgers knew it and wasn't taking his play call seriously coming in, and he was doing whatever the hell he wanted to do because he thought he knew better to do it.
But also like, from Mike McCartney's own mouth.
You take that full face value of him saying, oh, yeah, I didn't
look
at all the
plays. Yeah, saying that he totally lied in the interview about watching all their games last, you
but
know,
Jerry Jones has got a bust in Canton for a reason. Like, he you don't think him in all the business deals that he's done can smell a rat that smells somebody that's selling him a bill of goods? Like, you don't think
guys
he knows
that? Guys
who have
lost their fastball, though, maybe it's Jerry Jones.
I can't imagine that. No way.
Well, old Dr. Jones with my rubber glove.
No, because Stephen Jones is sitting there too, and these guys are sharp cookies. They could have made you can make a mistake in a hire. I bet you they're sitting there thinking, "Let's go in Philadelphia." In their 30 years of running this team, they've seen things turn.
Of course.
Oh yeah.
I mean, look, it's only 7 weeks. A lot can happen. There's still a lot of game left.
Guys, let me explain something to you. It's not going to turn around.
DiNucci could be.
Not with that line. Not with that quarterback.
No, this
situation.
Is true. This is true. And that's why I'm saying happen. That's why I'm saying my fourth down hot take is to go, you know, if you think that you still got a shot.
Clearly, they still have a shot.
Well, then you got to go get Cam. Flip a 4 or 5. Call up Bill and say, what do you want?
You've seen what the Eagles and Washington and New York look like. You can still win the division.
If I'm New England, I take that off ramp because I'm also telling everybody at home, look, this season's a wash. Tom's in Tampa. Deep down, we thought he was still coming back, mm-hmm. right? And he didn't. Gronk, as we all know, really pissed them off because he waited to a certain part of the offseason where he put them in a rock and a hard place that would have really overcapped them if he wasn't allowed to go out of retirement.
And it was too late to go sign someone.
Right. So they were put in between a rock and a hard place. Hey, we're trading Cam and we're gonna go with Stidham. And we're gonna see if he's a guy, and if he's not, we're ready to go. We're gonna start from scratch, everyone. Wouldn't New England accept such a thing? Wouldn't you think everyone would accept such a thing despite the Red Sox being so difficult to watch this year? Don't you think they were?
I think the reasonable, logical-looking fans, and Tom Curran would probably write a great column about it and explain why it's the right move.
I don't know if this is pie in the sky. I have no idea. Maybe. I'm sure they're sitting there thinking, let's go beat Buffalo and turn this thing around ourselves.
But what do you get for Cam in return? I mean, you can't expect more than a
fifth round pick, probably. But it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I guess they could get a third if he leaves as a free agent somewhere as a compensatory pick.
Maybe.
So you tell Dallas a 3, or let's just call it a 4 and call it a day.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. But it's excellent food for
thought. But you can get a first-round pick if you trade Stephon Gilmore and Joe Tooney. You get a first-round pick for both those guys. Those guys are all pro players. So do you sell off all 3 and then reload and maybe take a run at Trevor Lawrence?
You're not getting him. Don't even think about it.
You could for 3 number ones.
Yeah.
Not from you. Has to be 6. If I'm the Jets, are you serious? 6. Honestly, whatever the rules allow for the Jets to ask the Patriots, it's not even, forget it.
But if Houston has the number one pick, they're sellers.
Ooh. I mean, that's why the Jets got to keep stinking.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's not just to get it for themselves. It's to keep New England from getting him.
Totally. Oh.
Doug Peterson and Kyle Rudolph are our guests the next hour, head coach of Philadelphia and tight end of the Vikings, respectively. The legendary Mike Doc Emrick, top of hour 3. The actor Mark Strong as well. News update and so much more in your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.